Thanks for being with us. My guest today is Ms. Shima Behnamanesh, legal advisor to Royan Research Institute, which deals mainly with stem cell research and infertility. A very warm welcome to the program, Ms. Behnamanesh. Thanks for being with us today.
Hello, thank you, and good afternoon.
Thank you. So as you know, you listened during the introduction, we are going to talk about surrogacy. We have talked about it before, but our viewers have asked us to discuss the issue again because it's a vast issue. There are many ambiguities regarding the ethical and the legal aspects of surrogacy. That's why we ask you to be here with us today. But for an overview, let's talk again of what surrogacy is basically and how many types are there.
Okay. Generally, we can say that surrogacy is one of the assisted reproductive techniques in which a third party is involved to complete the pregnancy and gives the baby to intending families. So, in this procedure, there is a woman that we can name her as a surrogate. A surrogate is a woman who bears the child. And this procedure must be prescribed just for the couples who have their own embryo, but they are not able to carry it. So in this regard, surrogate tries to help them. We can describe this treatment as a puzzle that it will not be solved without the surrogate. And she is a complementary part of it.
Okay, great. So that was what a surrogate mother is. And what are the different types of surrogacy?
Generally, there are two main types for surrogacy, gestational surrogacy and traditional surrogacy. In gestational surrogacy or complete surrogacy, there is not a genetical relationship between surrogates and baby, and the surrogate is just required to carry the baby, and she will be conceived by the embryos created by the eggs and sperms of intending family. So there is no genetical relationship between surrogates and the baby. But in traditional or incomplete surrogacy, there is genetical relationship between surrogates and the baby. And not only the surrogate is required to carry the baby, but the eggs that are necessary for making embryos will be harvested from her. So there is the genetical relationship between surrogate and baby.
Okay, so in one type, the first type, gestational, if I got it right, the egg and the sperm are from the biological parents, or as you said, the intending family, and the surrogate mother just carries the embryo.
Yeah, yeah. She is just a carrier.
Just a carrier. Yeah. But in the traditional type, she is also a part of it, which is she also contributes to the embryo. Yeah.
And she must to donate the eggs for the making embryos.
Thank you so much for that. We'll come back to you with more questions in this regard. But first, it's time to cross over to Mr. Nurai, who's got some scientific articles for us. Is that right, Mr. Nurai?
Absolutely right. Here, I was just checking out all the news beats, and I found a couple of them that will be really interesting. First of all, the largest study to date of the pros and cons attributed to aspirin has shown that a small daily intake of the drug significantly cuts risk of fatality or occurrence of bowel, stomach and esophageal cancer. The review perused all available evidence from studies and clinical trials on the drug's potential of damage and improvement. It found that taking aspirin for 10 years could cut bowel cancer cases by around 35% and death from the disease by 40%. Rates of esophageal and stomach cancer were cut by 30% and death from these cancers by 35 to 50%. Stay with us. Welcome back. new study has unveiled the older people with low vitamin D are threatened with higher risk of developing dementia. An international team of researchers led by Dr. David Lewin at the University of Exeter Medical School in UK has monitored people for 6 years, observing nearly 1,650 people aged over 65, unraveled the existence of association between level of vitamin D and risk of developing dementia in elderly people. All participants at the early phase of the study were not involved in dementia, cardiovascular disease and stroke. Results of the study showed that people with good levels of vitamin D had a 1 in 10 chance of developing dementia, while 70 persons of the group who had been reported with severe vitamin D deficiency were threatened by higher risk of dementia, around a 1 in 5 risk of the disease. All right, it's time for our interesting news report. We have a report about herbal medicine. Of course, in this day and age, they're gaining high popularity among the public. So let's see what the report has to say about that.
In recent years, traditional medicine and supplementary medicine have attracted the attention of the World Health Organization. Despite the 7,000-year-old history of using traditional medicine in Iran, we experienced a 100 to 150-year-long period in which traditional medicine was not used in our country.
ایران به عنوان یکی از کشورهای برتر هست از نظر تنوع زیستی و پراکنش گیاهان دارویی به طوری که 11 اقلیم از 13 اقلیم شناخته شده جهانی رو ایران داره.
ما سه خصوصیتی که در طب سنتی ایران می‌بینیم، یکی این هستش که در درمان بیماری‌ها بیمار محوره. مطلب دیگه این که داروهایی که استفاده می‌کنه، داروها و شیوه‌های درمانیش بیشتر از منابع طبیعی تأمین میشه. نکته دیگه‌ای که در طب سنتی مطرحه اینه که طب سنتی ما از نظر شیوه درمانی به درمان پایه بیماری ها برمیگرده، یعنی عامل یا اتیولوژی بیماری ها رو برطرف میکنه.
یکی از مباحث خیلی مهمی که ما پزشکان در طب نوین و رایجی که الان در سراسر جهان اجرا میشه باش روبرو هستیم، نواقصیه که بیشتر به علت جزئی نگری در سلامت انسان باش روبرو هستیم. دیدگاه جزئی نگرانه حتی رفته تا عمق یک سلول رو هم بررسی کرده و متاسفانه باعث شده که بیشتر بیماری محور باشه تا بیمار محور، به طوری که مثلا به قول یکی از اساتید ما میگفت که بعضی وقتها وقتی بیماری با درد گوش وارد مطب ما میشه، ما یک انسانی که گوشش درد میکنه نمیبینیم، یک گوشی میبینیم که یک انسانی بهش چسبیده. و این دیدگاه جزنگرانه باعث شده که خیلی وقتها ما حتی بیماری هایی که در طب سنتی علت‌های شناخته شده‌ای داشتن رو به اسم علت ناشناخته یا ایدیوپاتیک اصطلاحاً بنامیم.
However, traditional medicine was accepted officially as an academic major taught at universities in 2003 in Iran and in 2008. Traditional pharmaceuticals became an academic major. After that, the history of medicine and the use of traditional medicine heritage turned into an academic major taught at universities both at undergraduate and at PhD levels. In fact, the approach of using traditional medicine academically was considered by authorities and officials.